Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, North Rock. How are we this morning? Are we good? Are we excited to talk about being built for battle? Yeah, I hope so, because I don't know if you recognize this or not, but as we sit here today, we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle, and you know, sometimes we just want to like shrink back and go, no, it's all cool. I'm just going to be a spiritual battle pacifist, if you will. Does that make sense? Like, it's like, I don't got any scrap in this thing. I don't need to mess with this thing, right? But the truth of the matter is, if we are called to follow Christ, we are called to battle. We're battling for our faith, and we're battling for the faith that He has entrusted to us by His Spirit, amen. So I know I'm already diving in. I'm already talking a little bit, but just wanted to set up the topic by stating this title. Today we're going to be talking about built for battle, spiritual strategies, scars, and stories. Right? Nothing seems to perk up, at least the people that I hang around with, ears more than a fight story, right? It's like, oh yeah, this one time back in 64, you know, I was going down to the corner store, and boy, these old boys just came around the corner, and, you know, and they just tell this story like, you know, like they were, you know, the next MMA superstar, right? Those kind of things. Well, the truth of the matter is, we are called to battle, but as followers of Christ, we're called to battle in ways that are different than what our normal standards of combat would probably be, right? So let's go ahead and pray, and then we're going to dive into the scripture. I'm going to talk to you about three very simple ideas that I think reinforce this idea that we are built for battle. And then I'm going to talk to you about some tools and some techniques that will help us in the battle that we're currently in. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that as we gather together in your name, Lord, we are here as an exercise of our faith. We are here in the discipline of faith. And so we thank you that you are building our faith, Lord, that you are the one who has given us faith. And it's in you that we entrust our faith to. Help us, Lord, to know how to war in ways that are pleasing to you and that bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So my first point is simply that we are in a spiritual battle. We're in a fight for our faith. Every day, every situation, everywhere we go, there's a battle that rages. Now, we may not be able to see it in the visible, right? But just because we can't see it doesn't mean we can't feel it. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Can we agree on that? That just because I can't grab it and say, okay, this is, oh, that was a swing at me, right? Oh, what was that? You know, we're ducking and moving and bobbing and weaving. But we recognize that there is a spirit. There are spirits in this world that are contrary to the Holy Spirit's purpose in our life, right? And I don't know if your life is anything like mine, but as I've engaged the battle for Christ, like that's part of what brought me to this place, was it's like, yeah, let's do this, Lord. Let's fight for your causes. Let's fight for your purposes in this world. Let's do this thing for your glory, for your name in this world. And then there are some days when I just feel like that, you know, the scene from Rocky 1 and Rocky 2 and Rocky 3 and Rocky 4, and Rocky V, when he's just going, it's like a speed bag face. You know, it's just getting bigger and swollen. Got a cut over your eye. Your nose bloodied a little bit. And you just got to keep reminding yourself in faith that the faith has been secured. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 helps us understand that it's not just us that feels that battle sometimes. You guys feel the battle? You guys sense that in your spirit? We're in a battle, yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 says we're not the only ones, right? Paul, in writing to a Corinthian church, says, when we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the outside and fear on the inside. So again, it's not just you and I. It is the battle. It is the way that this is set up. There are battles on the outside, and there's fear and trepidation on the inside, right? There can be fear on the inside, and there can be battles that are raging outside. So 1 Timothy chapter 1, has a great piece of wisdom that Paul passes on to his spiritual son, Timothy. And in verse 18, he says this. He says, "Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles." Isn't that a cool phrase? In other words, this is an active participation in the Lord's battles, right? And then in chapter 6, after he talks to him about some more things that are going on, gives him more instruction, comes back to it later, and he says, "Fight the good fight of true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before so many witnesses." So you guys getting some of the metaphors, some of the themes, some of the topics? Because I know when we come to church, you know, we can kind of feel like, no, I just want to hear all the peace and the joy and the long suffering, right? I just want to focus on the happy stuff, right? But I feel like sometimes we can be in a battle and just try not to recognize it. That makes sense. You ever had somebody fight you when you didn't want to fight? They just kind of follow you around. They just keep fighting and until you finally turn around and address it, right? They just keep coming on. They keep pouring it on, right? So the first point is simply this: we are in a battle. We are in a battle for our faith. There are situations in your life right now that have been sent to try to chip away at your faith. And today, my exhortation, my encouragement is simply this: fight for your faith. Fight for the good faith, right? Hold on to that promise. Hold tightly to the eternal life which God has called you. May the prophetic words of God's scriptures spoken of us help us fight well in the Lord's battles. So turn to somebody and say, "You're in a fight for your faith." Come on, Steve, I'm watching you. If you don't do it, I can see it. You're in the second row, man. You're right there. I can see it. Come on, man. Fight, right? The Lord's Spiritual Fight Club. That's what we're talking about today. Okay? So and then here's the second point that I wanted to simply make in this, is that no matter where you go, whoever you meet, whatever you're doing, whether it's at the grocery store, at church, at work, at school, at play, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, everyone that you meet struggles in a spiritual battle, and they have battle scars, right? The only thing that's better than sitting around a campfire talking about the fights are the scars, right? Because scars are proof that your story about the convenience store was actually true, right? That, well, they did get me right here, you know, or they did this or that or the other, right? That everyone that we meet has some scar. They have some struggle. They have some battle that they're going through. And one of the reasons that God calls us to fight together for the faith that Jesus entrusts to us is so that people have a place to grow in their faith. To grow in their faith. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 reminds us this. He says, "Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven." Say, as a citizen of heaven. "Conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come to see you again or I only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit, with one purpose, fighting together for the faith." You know, there's a difference between fighting together and fighting together for the faith, right? Which is the good news. You know, I came across a picture that's been kind of a metaphor for us here at North Rock since I came back 5 years ago last month. And part of it comes from this idea that we are battling for a work that the Lord has been doing for a long time. But I don't know if you can see the picture. Good job dimming the lights a little bit. Can you guys see that? That is a awesome looking warship, isn't it? And I just started thinking about that idea of the warship being constructed for a purpose, right? That it's made for something. It's made for war. It's made for battle. It's made for the fight. And I know that if you and I were going to go sign up for a Carnival cruise, and we saw that picture as their backdrop, we probably would not want to participate. It's like, no, they're going to make me swing some rigging, and they're going to make me row, and they're, you know, there's going to be all these things that have to happen because we're in a battle rather than you know, being on a cruise ship, if that makes sense. One of my concerns for the local church is that somewhere along the way, we began to think of church as the place that we come for the cruise ship experience. That the church is the place where we come to just kind of chill and get our, you know, our mixed, you know, little umbrella drinks, non-alcoholic, of course, and get our massages. And you guys understand what I'm saying? Is that when we think about church from the terms of, hey, how can you just make me feel better? It's easy to get disappointed. It's easy to take offense. It's easy to battle, not with each other for the Lord, but with each other, right? That we are called to be a worship. And part of the confirming word that I received coming back 5 years ago was from my good friend Andrew Tiber, who's over here. I made him go to a rush to rested spiritual retreat. As we prayed about God's direction for this season and this church and what God was saying to me and whether or not I was supposed to go to the district or come back here to North Rock. And it's a whole day of you not being able to speak. Now, for me, that was pretty easy. Like, I just had my Bible. I walked. I was like, oh, God, this is awesome. My friend Andrew over here, he's got a few more words than I do, if you haven't noticed, right? And so he did. He did his best. He just, and then about, you know, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we said, okay, we've done it. Let's walk. Let's debrief. Let's talk about what the Lord's saying to us and what he's called us to do. And so he says, you know, I don't usually get dreams. I don't usually get visions. I don't usually roll like that, right? I've come from the Presbyterian side. So here's proof. He is a Pentecostal. He's seeing visions, right? And he basically just said this. I see this picture of this big kind of warship, like the one I just put up there, and you're standing at the front of it, and you're all alone. And there are people that are running towards the fight, but you can't see them yet. That they're still towards the back. They're still onboarding. They're still deciding whether or not they're going to engage the fight. They're still determining whether or not this is their fight. And I tell you, that vision and God's word, his promise, that the battle is what we're called to, is what gives me peace when I'm getting my nose bloodied by Apollo Creed. Does that make sense? And so I simply say that to say that we are in a battle, that everyone that we meet struggles and has battle scars, and the love of Christ is the answer to the challenges that they face. Amen? That is the one thing that can change everything for anyone, okay? One of the reasons this fighting metaphor is so powerful to me is because I grew up fighting for my survival, fighting off my mom's boyfriends and you know, other significant others, and fighting in my schools, and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. And when the Lord got a hold of me and showed me there's a better way, that there are better things to fight for, it gave me a place to put that fight. Does that make sense? Yeah. Amen. That is what God does. He gets a hold of us. He takes everything that's gone on in our lives, the good, the bad, the ugly, and he redeems it for the purposes of using it to engage in a battle against the enemy of our souls. At the end of the day, none of this matters, does it? If we don't end the race with faith. If we don't end the race believing Jesus to be who he said he is. Amen? So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says this. Dear friends, I warn you as, listen to this, temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires and wage war, or that wage war against your very souls. You guys see that again? There's a battle that rages, and it even comes from our inside. In other words, our fights aren't always on the outside. They're not fundamentally coming from opposition of people or situations in our lives. Sometimes the battle we fight is on the inside. Many of you guys know that this month is Mental Health Month, right? And we've had some really high-level Christian pastors even that have had battles with their own mental health and even suicidal pastors in recent days. That's just a reminder that we're in a battle. That we know this from John chapter 10, verse 10, don't we? That Jesus says, I have come to give you life abundant. Better than you could ever hope or ask for, right? That's what that means. But he also says, but there is an enemy. And his job is to what? To steal, to kill, and destroy. What's he stealing, killing, and destroying? Faith, right? He wants to wipe faith from the face of the earth. He wants us to say it's zero-sum game. Strongest lion wins, right? God's fighting techniques are different. So here's what we need to remember. One, we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a fight for our faith, right? Hard things happen. We lose loved ones. We battle sicknesses. We struggle with the events of this world. We struggle against one another sometimes, right? But we're in a battle. We know that everyone has scars and everyone is in a struggle. Or I like to use the word scrap, right? Everybody's in a scrap. And then finally, my third point is simply this. Battles continue, but the war's been won. The war has been won. We sang about that this morning, didn't we? The power of that cross, right? I think I bumped past one of my scriptures. And I want to return to that if we can, Andrew. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5, it says this. We are human, but we don't wage our war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ. It's a great way to describe discipleship, isn't it? That we take that thought. We just read about how our own emotions sometimes war against what we know to be true about what God says about who we are, right? And we teach them to come in to submission, teach those rebellious thoughts, right, to obey Christ. The battle continues, but the war has been won. That's what we need to remember today in the middle of our battles, in the middle of our fight, in the middle of our scrap. 1 John chapter 5 says this, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and we obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments and that his commandments are not burdensome. It's not good. In other words, when Christ comes to live in us, when we become sons and daughters of the King, his commandments are no longer the law. They are no longer there to force us to do certain things, right? Or to show us when we do things that are contrary to it. There's a heart change. There's a difference in our attitude and the way that we approach it. We say, his commandments are for my benefit. They're for my faith. They're for the building up of my faith. They're for my benefit. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve the victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. If that's not enough, I got a couple more scriptures I want to rip off here for you. Because again, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what your pastor says. What matters is what God's word says, right? So I'm going to give you a couple more. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 37. If you have a pen, write them down. You're going to have a chance to read them with me. But I hope that you'll feed off of them this week, okay? Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 37 says, can anything separate us from Christ's love? No, right? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Or persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, listen to this, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. The war has been won, y'all. The war has been won. Just setting up that nice, you know, 10th round knockout comeback, right? That's all he's doing. Psalm 28, verse or 24, verse 8 says, who's the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord invincible in battle. It's a cool phrase, isn't it? Invincible in battle. So the next time that we feel like we're in this fight, we feel like maybe we're getting beat down, we feel like maybe we're all alone, we feel like we have to remind ourselves that the Lord, who is invincible, is in our corner. That he is the one who fights this fight for us, right? Isaiah 42:13 says it this way, the Lord will march out like a mighty hero. And all the guys in the place said, right? For he will come out like a warrior, full of fury. He will shout his battle cry and crush his enemies. Man, I don't know if this is helping you, but it's sure helping me this morning. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says, in this way he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. So again, this isn't an equal weight class fight, is it? If he has disarmed the spiritual authorities and rulers of this world, he's already won the war, then we need to quit speaking so much power into those spiritual principalities and authorities. We need to quit talking about how big Goliath is. We need to get our eyes back on the prize. Get our eyes back on the Lord who disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. And it says that he shamed them publicly by his victory over them at the cross. I want you to think about that for a minute. What the world intended to be the ultimate sign of shame, being hung on a cross, Christ willingly gave himself up for to bring victory over all spiritual battles. Is that good this morning? Is that helpful to you? Does that encourage you in the battle you're in today? I hope it does. Hope it does, because if it doesn't, I'm sorry, but that's all I brought this morning. Okay? I wanted to give you just a couple of quick tools. I call them fighting tactics, fighting tips. For waging war against the enemy. Because part of what we need to learn to do as followers of Christ is remember that God's called us into the fight and not just to be a punching bag for the enemy as he, you know, works on his combinations and you know, his different fighting game, right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 through 18 talks about God's armor. You guys remember that? Go read about it this week. Remind yourself today. Remind yourself this week, right, that you're in a battle. That you need to stand firm. You stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body of God's righteousness. The shoes of the put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take on the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In other words, there is an offensive. And I think part of what God is speaking to me, and I hope he's speaking to us, is that he's calling us to mount a counteroffensive. What's a counteroffensive? Just means you're in your defensive posture, taking on the front lines of the enemy's waves of discouragement, the waves of attack, the fiery darts of the enemy that are sent to discourage and keep us from living in faith. And then we go on the offense. And we counterattack, right? That's what he's saying. Put on salvation as your helmet. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Let me ask you this. Just by taking that perspective on your week coming up, how much does that empower us for the battle ahead? It does, doesn't it, right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. In other words, launch your counter offensive strike. Find your cause and fight for Christ. Find the thing that causes you to get up in the morning and be a redemptive agent for Jesus in this world. Lean into the community of faith that he's called us to. That is a way of being in faith. 1 Chronicles 19:13 says, be courageous. Let us fight bravely for our people in the cities of our God. May the Lord's will be done. And this is what I know, is that when we go on the offensive, when we find our cause, when we move out of just a defensive posture of taking, you know, in taking on shelling, and we go on the offensive, we find a calling. We find God's commission. We find power to sustain us in the fight. I had a dear friend of mine remind me this week, just stopped me in the midst of one of my little rants and complaining sessions. You guys know that happens. We all do it, pastors included. And they just reminded me, said, Chad, you remember, you know, that person is not the enemy, right? And you're like, yeah, of course. I knew that. Yeah. No, it's not. I know. I'm the pastor, right? And then the Holy Spirit reminds you as you walk away, because he's in this fight with us, right, to say, you know, they're right. Yeah, I know, all right? And I take it back to prayer, and guess what? All those complaining, they fall off. And this is what I know, that if we make our fight with others in the camp, if we make our fight with the people that God places in our life to be redemptive agents of his grace being released in our life, we'll surely lose this fight of faith. 2 Timothy 2:14 says, remind everyone of these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless and they can ruin those that hear them. So isn't that a good word this morning, church? It can ruin those that hear. So here's my exhortation as we close. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I'm asking us to live as if we really, truly do believe that we're built for battle. I'm asking you to go pick a fight with hell. I'm asking you to pray for your families. I'm asking you to pray for our neighborhoods. I'm asking you to pray for this church. I'm asking for you to pray and to pick a fight with hell. Expose evil, attack demonic strongholds, and find your cause for Christ. Even now, I pray that the Spirit would just drop something into your heart. What's the cause? Is it homelessness? Is it, what is it? I know there's something that God has called you to. 2 Chronicles 20:15 says this, and this is another good charge to send us out with. Simply says this, he said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So remember, as we leave this place today, you're in a battle. You're in a fight for your faith. Everyone is in a battle and has scars that they carry. And victory is ours in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me pray, and then let's worship as a response to God's working his peace, his purpose in our hearts. Comes out of 1 Corinthians 15:57. It says, but thank God that he gives us victory over sin and death through Christ Jesus. So Lord, as we pause in your presence this morning, Lord, we're encouraged by your reminder that we are on the winning side of all of this. That no matter what struggles we face, you are victorious. And in faith in you, we are victorious as your followers. Lord, I pray that you would give us victory. Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit. And that we would not sit back in passivity saying, well, I wonder what will happen. Or, well, I wonder what could occur. But Lord, we would be on the offensive, helping people get into your boat, helping people get into that warship that you've called us to, called your church. Help us, Lord, to be the healers that help with people's scars and the wounds that they have. And Lord, as we sit here today, we know that some of us right now are in active bleeding, that the scars are still forming. Would you, by your grace and by your mercy and by your healing power, heal our hearts today? Lord, would you heal us of the things that we suffer in this world? Lord, would you break forth in new and glorious health and healing in this body, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship. Lord, that's the posture of our heart today. Followers of you, knowing that in our battles, you have secured victory. Can you just confess that today? Whatever it is that you're struggling with, whatever it is that is that stronghold, whatever it is today that comes to your mind, would you just confess, Lord, the victory is won? In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that in you we have victory. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, I don't know that as I stand here today that I have a relationship with Jesus. I don't know that as I stand here today that he is in my life, that he is fighting for my cause and my purpose in this world. If that's you today, we'd like to offer an opportunity to pray a very simple prayer that we pray here every week as a community of faith at North Rock. It's a reminder of who Jesus is in our lives and why we can have confidence that his victory is secure. So whether you're praying it for the first time or your 50th time, let's pray it like it's our first this morning. Can we do that? Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life, and I give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learn the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, I pray and we trust. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen. Hey, real quick, hey, as a posture of battle, can we give the Lord an applause one more time? Lord, you are faithful and you are victorious over every situation in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. It's spiritual warfare, y'all. Our praise that goes out before is spiritual warfare. God bless you. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'd love to meet you. After the service, we have a gift to help you get started in this journey with Jesus. Otherwise, thank you for being here at North Rock. If you need prayer for anything in your life, we have a team available for that, okay? God bless you. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.